Greetings. This is KROV Oroville. This is KROV Oroville 91.1 FM Community Radio. Also heard on the World Wide Web at www.krov.fm. And it's Lee Edwards here with Our Town. And today, our special guest is Dave Garcia. And golly, currently his main affiliation would be Frac Free Butte County. I assume you're still with the Sierra Club too in some function, or?
Yes, I'm still a Sierra Club member, and helping with your efforts. Also, our local group is Yahi. Want to thank you for inviting me here.
Sure enough. Now we're going to get control of these mics. Guess we'll have to work that out as we go. Something is really crazy here. Just a minute there. All right. There, now. Okay, so, I guess, you know, it must be difficult in a way for you because you almost have to pick from all the terrible things going on in the earth and the dangers to it. Pick one or two to concentrate on because there's no lack of problems out there.
That's true, and really my efforts has been on water, and that's why it's so important that we've been working on the frac-free Butte County campaign, because fracking pollutes water, and basically here in Butte County, our number one industry is agriculture. And if we don't have water to grow our crops in that, we're devastated. So that's why we've been working on this campaign to ban fracking.
Sure, and obviously the way to start is, for those who aren't familiar with it, it gets a fair amount of press, but maybe not as much as it should, and that is, what in the devil is fracking?
Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that it's actually an insidious process. Basically, we look at the oil spill we had in Santa Barbara back in May. That oil that was spilled was actually fracked oil from the Holly platform. So the second time in Santa Barbara that oil spilled. And then currently the problem they're having down in Los Angeles with the Aliso Canyon Porter Ranch, fiasco of 76 tons of natural gas. Works.
Yeah, okay. So I understand it, but I guess the idea is they push.
Yeah, you want me to explain it?
Yeah, explain the process. Yeah,
so basically fracking is the unconventional extraction. In the past, with the Beverly Hillbillies, they used to be able to drill a well into the ground and oil would just come bubbling up. Well, all that easy to get oil is no longer available. So now they've come up with this complex process. They call it extreme extraction or unconventional extraction, where now they're injecting thousands of gallons of water here in California with toxic poisonous chemicals that are cancer-causing, carcinogenic. And they also include sand. And then they put it under extreme pressure. We're looking at 5,000 PSI, 10,000. There's some wells up in Canada, 40,000 PSI to crack the rock. You look at your tire pressure, that's only 35 PSI. Can you imagine 40,000? But anyway, in that process, it cracks a rock, and the process is called hydraulic fracturing. So the hydraulic refers to the water, the fracturing refers to the pressure. And so basically, they crack the strata, and then the sand holes the little cracks open in the rock, and that releases the oil and the gas. So when they release the pressure, that water that they pump down there, the thousands of gallons, comes back up with the oil and the gas, and then they have to separate the two. But they never get all the chemicals, all the toxic chemicals that are involved. They never get that out of all of it, out of the gas and out of the oil. There's still traces of it. And so these chemicals, again, a lot of them are cancer-causing. For instance, they use the BTX complex, which is benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene, xylene. These are all cancer-causing. Then there's naphthalene. There's formaldehyde, glutaraldehyde, additional chemicals that are cancer-causing that's in this frack fluid. And what people really need to realize, and probably the most important thing, is that 1 gallon of frack fluid, if it has benzene in it, can contaminate 1 million gallons of drinking water. Basically, it has a 5 parts per billion maximum contamination level. So that's why it's so critical that this extreme process of fracking not be used in Butte County, because we don't want it to get in our water, contaminate our water, and then it's going to, you know, destroy our crops. One last thing I'd just like to mention about, you know, agriculture and fracking is there's actually a farmer in Kern County by the name of Fred Starr. His aquifer was contaminated by Area Energy, which is a combination of Shell and Exxon together, and so they call themselves Area. Well, they had waste pits where they had their wastewater sitting in these unlined pits, and that wastewater seeped into the ground and contaminated Fred Starr's aquifer. When he watered his almonds, he lost 2,000 acres of almonds because the water was now contaminated with these chemicals. And he won an $8.5 million lawsuit. So this is actually has gone through the courts. He won that lawsuit, but he still has this contaminated water, and he still lost the 2,000 acres. Sure. So that's why we don't want this in Butte County.
Sure, and how the devil would you ever try? Wouldn't even dream of trying to decontaminate or whatever the word is. Once it's there, it's there. It's not,
right.
Not going to go anywhere. And the other thing probably that doesn't seem that important, but to me it is that they're using water too. So it's been raining for a few weeks, but so what? We're in a big state of drought. We have questionable how long our aquifer is going to work. And then here they're taking water from us, and it's like a double hit.
Yeah, and so on the topic of water, I got a little fact sheet here. And, you know, basically, you know, we've had a 4-year drought now, and the California Council on Science and Technology, it's a report that came out in July that the state legislature mandated had to be done in the process of approving fracking, which was under SB4. And under that report, it says that fracking in California uses 4 billion gallons of water. And you know, of course, the oil and gas industry says, well, you know, that's not a whole lot of water compared to what agriculture uses. But let's look at Chico. Chico uses 16.8 million gallons of water a year. The fracking industry uses 4 billion. So they're basically using 238 times more than the city of Chico. So that is an enormous amount of water that fracking uses here in California.
Sure. Wow. This is amazing to me. But I guess the idea is that there's such an economic benefit for the fuels they're getting. Well, it's hard for me to even think about this, Dave. I find it so repulsive that maybe I don't know if I could sleep at night doing what you're doing, because it's so disturbing. And to have to deal with every single day of your life in some way or other all these things. And getting the word out seems really important. I don't listen all that much, but I do hear some of the other radio stations around. And other than non-community radio, we don't hear a whole lot of this.
Right. And basically, you know, on June 7th of this year, there's going to be an initiative on the ballot. And the initiative is to ban fracking in Butte County. And so we're telling everybody to vote to ban it, because we don't want this toxic, poisonous, cancer-causing process in our county. Again, because it pollutes our water, pollutes our air, with all the different toxic chemical and cancer-causing chemicals, it's going to affect our health. And so, you know, basically, you know, why ban fracking in Butte County? And we have numerous reasons. And, you know, like I said earlier, you know, it's highly toxic. And 1 gallon of frack fluid can contaminate 1 million gallons of drinking water. So, I mean, it doesn't take much, it wouldn't take much to destroy our aquifers and affect our agricultural industry. Also, fracking, you know, has been linked to cancer. You know, I mentioned all the chemicals that are used, and those chemicals not only cause cancer, they cause birth defects, neurological disorders, and severe health problems. Fracking also has an ugly leak and spill contamination record. Between 2011 and 2014, there were 775 wastewater spills in California, with 18% of those spills affecting waterways. I just mentioned that, you know, in May we had the Santa Barbara oil spill, and that was 20,000 gallons of oil that spilled into the ocean. And I mean, that was, it's now costing, I think, almost $100 million to clean that up. And I mean, they had to close off that whole shoreline area for several months, and countless, you know, thousands of animals died from that. And then, you know, we also had, you know, they say that fracking is safe and there's no problems. But in Clarington, Ohio, on June of 2014, a fire started at a fracking site. And at that site, the fire burned for a week and exploded 20 tanker trucks, which had chemicals and water in it. And that runoff, which had the fracking chemicals in it, flowed into the river, and it killed over 70,000 fish as far as 5 miles downstream. So, I mean, so these chemicals, and that's what people need to realize, again, are extremely toxic, extremely poisonous, and they cause cancer. And so, you know, huge concern, because industry has done their own studies in terms of drilling. And one industry report showed that 6% of fracked well casings fail immediately. And if we look at the Deepwater Horizon, that was a well that had just been drilled, and it failed. And look at the damage it did to the Gulf. So you know, so there's the data on that. And the worst thing is that 50% of these wells will fail after 30 years. So 30 years from now, all those thousands of wells that they drilled, that toxic fracking fluid is going to get into our drinking water. And what people don't realize is the number one source of fresh water, fresh liquid water on the planet, is groundwater. So why are we pumping poison, toxins, cancer into the ground where our largest source of fresh water is? That's crazy. And we, you know, we need to stop that, because we're going to kill ourselves.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks understand in a basic way, but an awful lot of them, I'm sure, have no idea. Where do you get your water? Well, it comes from a tap. Well, where about that? Oh, it comes from the city, or I have a well. They don't think beyond that.
Correct.
You've got to get into it and understand the way you do, Dave. By the way, we have Dave Garcia here today, talking about important subjects, I'll say. Depressing? Well, maybe not depressing, because here's a guy that can smile and carry on, and he's doing things that help us all maybe control some of these things.
Well, you know, the reason I talk about these things is to educate people. And that's what basically the fossil fuel industry does not want. They like to keep everything under a shroud of secrecy so they can do whatever they want to, and people don't realize what's happening. And, you know, and back on that topic of water again, you know, I mentioned a little earlier, a huge thing that's happening is now the oil industry, and actually they've been doing it for 20 years. In Kern County, Chevron Oil has been selling their wastewater from their oil facilities to Coelho Water District. And Coelho Water District waters or irrigates 45,000 acres of crops. They irrigate the Halo and the Cutie Mandarins that you can buy at Costco, Raley's, and Trader Joe's. They water raisins. There's raisins that are actually certified organic that are being watered. Also, the label Sunview, grapes and raisins, those crops are being watered with this wastewater. And then also B-Sweet Citrus is another industry that uses this wastewater. And the thing is, they've been doing it for 20 years, but they've never bothered to actually test the water for the drilling chemicals. The state tests for the salts, and the state tests for the heavy metals, but they're not testing for any of the organics in that. And so there's a scientist by the name of Scott Smith. He works for an environmental group, Water Defense, and he's been testing this water for 2 years now. And he found that there's methylene chloride, which is an industrial solvent in this irrigation water. There's acetone, probably the most common thing that people are familiar with acetone is that's the solvent that women use to take the nail polish off their fingernails. So that's in the water. And then there's benzene. Again, here we have that benzene where 1 or 5 parts per billion will contaminate drinking water. But the state does not have any standards for irrigation water and irrigating crops. So that's why they're allowed to do this. And the state really needs to step back and look at this much more carefully and start testing for all these, you know, basically there's over 1,000 chemicals used in frac fluid. And over 75% of these chemicals, they have no idea what kind of effects it has on human beings. And so we're way behind on this whole process. And it's going to take, you know, we the people to tell our government that, hey, you know, you need to look into this and you need to get this straightened out. Because what's currently happening is the industry is looking at using more of this water. They want to quadruple the amount of wet water. Currently, Chevron sells 21 million gallons of this wastewater to Coelho Water District, and they want to quadruple that amount. And as of December 7th, Regional Water Quality Control Board issued a permit to allow another water agency in Kern County to buy 7 million gallons of this wastewater. So they're continuing to use this wastewater to grow our crops. And again, this scientist, Scott Smith, actually had some of the fruit and crops tested. And he said that they actually found C20 to C40 hydrocarbons in the fruit. And basically C20 to C40 hydrocarbons are diesel type of chemicals, which is basically oil. So it is in the food, and our government agencies aren't doing anything about it. So we the people need to really start screaming and complaining about this.
Yeah, it would seem to me in a world that where people sort of take care of things that once they're aware of it, there should be legislation just on the way, just immediately. But I guess it's a tricky process. You don't just write your representative and say, you know, I'm concerned about such and such, and then you get a form letter in reply. So you need to really, you're right, need to get on their case big time.
And basically, you know, our legislators have actually been trying to regulate this stuff. But unfortunately, we're fighting the richest and strongest industry in the world. The 5 largest oil companies, you know, which are British Petroleum, Shell, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, or Phillips 66, and I'm trying to think of the 5th one. Anyway, those 5 oil companies have made $1 trillion in the last 10 years. $1 trillion. I mean, that's more than most of the nations in the world have ever made. And so, again, they're the richest entities. And basically, the oil industry is the strongest lobby group in California. And so, in the last 3 months of legislation of last year, they spent $11 million. They spent $11 million lobbying. And so, what did the $11 million get them? Well, there was a bill called SB 248 by Pavley, and it would have prohibited dumping of oil wastewater into unlined pits. Again, I mentioned that Fred Starr had his groundwater contaminated because of that. Well, they were able to kill that bill. So, again, you know, in trying to protect the public and trying to protect the residents of California, they were able to lobby against this, and so they are allowed to continue to have these unlined pits, which will allow wastewater to seep into our aquifers. What other bills were there? Well, there was AB 356. It would have monitored groundwater near oil and gas injection wells. Well, you know, the industry keeps saying that, oh, this is very safe. You know, there's no records of anybody being sick or contaminated. Well, this bill would allow us to scientifically find what evidence there is. And they were able to kill that. They don't want us to know how deadly, how toxic, and how much cancer their industry caused. So they killed this bill. Another bill was 454 by Senator Allen. And this would have helped keep oil industry wastewater out of our drinking water aquifers. They killed that bill. So again, they spent $11 million in just a three-month period to make sure that the citizens of California would not be safe from their toxic poison chemicals. And probably the last really important bill was AB 1490, which they killed, and that would reduce the risk of induced seismicity from oil and gas injection wells. So basically, there would be more studies done on how this injection wells are causing earthquakes, because in Oklahoma, they're having a tremendous problem. You know, we're barely in January, and Oklahoma has already had 700 earthquakes this year. And basically, it's caused from these injection wells. And last year, Oklahoma had over 575 earthquakes that are 3.0 and higher. And so people have bought earthquake insurance. But basically, the insurance companies are saying, we're not going to cover the damage because these are human-induced earthquakes. Sure. So the insurance companies are refusing to pay. The oil industry is saying, well, we're not causing them. So the people are stuck in the middle with not getting any money from the insurance companies, even though they pay for it. And so they're stuck in the middle. And that's, you know, it's a scary situation. Is that going to happen here in California? You know, that's something that people need to be concerned about. Just like this huge thing we're having in Aliso Canyon with the Porter Ranch community. You know, that's a human-induced tragedy and catastrophe. Are the homeowner insurance policies going to refuse to pay on something like that? I mean, basically, Southern California gas is the one that caused the problem. And can the insurance policy say, well, we're not going to cover it because it's human-induced instead of nature-induced? So, again, all these property owners might be in a real bind. And currently, over 3,000 people have been evacuated from that area, and they're eventually looking at evacuating 30,000 people.
It's hard to believe all this.
Yeah.
Let me move this away a little. It's a hard thing.
No, I keep getting too close.
No, you're cool. Just sometimes.
Okay, reminding you again, this is The Bird. This is KROV Oroville, 91.1 FM Community Radio. Dave Garcia, our guest today, and if you've been listening, you have an idea of the passion he has for these things, which are affecting all of us, affecting every living critter on this earth, actually, people and others. Okay, fire away, Dave. I'm not sure what your next thing is, but you've sure gone through fracking, both in terms of the water contamination below and then the chemicals that are released. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm a representative from frack-free Butte County. I mean, from frack-free Butte in our campaign, you know, is basically do we want everybody to vote on June 7th to ban fracking in our county. And we're going to need a lot of assistance. Back in November of 2014, San Benito County and Santa Barbara County also had initiatives to ban fracking in their counties. And with San Benito County, the fossil fuel industry spent $2 million trying to kill their initiative. $2 million against this little itty-bitty county, which I think has a population of 50,000. They were able to win, but it was a hard battle for them. Santa Barbara County was not so lucky. The fossil fuel industry spent $7 million defeating their initiative to ban fracking in Santa Barbara County. And what happened with Santa Barbara County? They had that oil spill just this last May.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would have helped prevented that, because basically the oil that was spilled was, again, fracked oil from the Hawley platform. So we're expecting a lot of money to be spent here in our county to try to stop this initiative. And so we're asking for people to volunteer, because we want to get the word out to all our residents here in Butte County on how important this initiative is. We want to make sure people are registered to vote, and we want to make sure that they vote to ban it. So we have a website. It's called frackfreebuttecounty.org, and people can go to that website, and they can either donate to our campaign or they can volunteer. And we're looking for volunteers in all types of aspects, in terms of tabling, helping get endorsements for our initiative, phone banking, going door to door, hanging door hangers. And so, you know, this is a huge opportunity for Butte County to be the fourth county in California out of 57 counties to actually ban it. The other counties that have banned it is Santa Cruz County, and Mendocino County had it on their ballot, and they voted to ban it. And basically, the Board of Supervisors with Santa Cruz, they banned it through the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, that's interesting. I suppose we could. Well, let's not worry about whether we could do that here or not. This is really such a major issue, and it's something that people can do something.
So not only can they go to our website, again, which is frackfreebuttecounty.org, but they can also go to our Facebook page. And if they go to facebook.com, frackfreebuttecounty, they can catch up on the daily events that are happening around the state and around the nation, and kind of just, you know, follow what is happening with Frack Free Butte County and trying to get our initiative passed. And so it's a great Facebook page to go to if you want to stay up on what's happening with all the problems with the fossil fuel industry. You know, one of the latest reports that just came out, and it came out last week, was a study that was done that they determined that the wastewater actually causes cancer. So, and they're saying actually the wastewater is possibly more cancerous than the actual frack fluid, because when they pump that frack fluid into the ground, it comes back up with radioactive material, it comes back with heavy metals, so it actually sometimes much more toxic than just the frack fluid itself. And again, here we are using that wastewater to grow our crops with. Crazy, crazy stuff.
Yeah, I think it's good to understand and to feel good about one thing, and that is we don't have to depend on newspaper articles or broadcast information necessarily. It's nice. The internet really is a savior in this, and that you can go to a website and you can go to a Facebook and you can keep informed, and you know nobody's going to block you from that at this point anyway. So we're lucky to have this way of getting publicity and getting support and getting the word out.
So a lot of people ask me, well, you know, fracking really isn't occurring in Butte County, but we really don't know, because prior to SB4, which actually went into effect of January of 2015, there were no regulations for fracking in the state of California. So the agency that was supposed to be regulating it, the Division of Oil and Gas and Geothermal Resources, had no data on that. So the data that we acquired on the frack wells that are in California were all volunteer information. It was drilling agencies that told us, yes, we fracked these wells. And so the volunteer from that volunteer information, we found out that there were 13 wells that had been fracked in the Sutter Buttes, which are just on the other side of our county line. We learned that there were three wells that were fracked along the Sacramento River in Colusa County. And then we know there's another well that's been fracked up in Glenn County, which is also near the town of Glenn and the Sacramento River. And then we're aware that three permits were taken out to possibly frack in Tehama County. So we have fracking going around all around our county, and we know that eventually that they're going to come to Butte County when it's economically feasible and gas prices go back up, because what's happening here in Northern California is they frack for natural gas. And so we want to make sure that that doesn't happen. And right now is the best time to pass this law to make sure that it doesn't happen, because we don't want our water polluted.
Yeah, there's an urgency to what you're saying, Dave Garcia, and I really feel it, and I really again feel optimism. Well, yes, some optimism in that our communication system will be intact. The word will get out, and what better than to concentrate on one county, and then that's like an example for others, because it'll certainly spread, and as the word spreads, we might have a chance to do something about this process. Again, Dave Garcia here is with the group Frack Free Butte County. And how long have you been, when did this thing start, the group, or are you the group?
No, we have numerous people that are in our campaign and in our organization. But I actually started working on this way back in 2011. At the time, I was the chair of the Yahi group here in Northern California, which is the Sierra Club. And it started with them asking people to have house parties and show the film Gasland, which was done by Josh Fox. And so I volunteered to do that. And so when I saw the film Gasland, and I saw people lighting their kitchen sink water on fire, I said, whoa, there's something really wrong with this, and we need to stop it. So I started by just educating, and that's what I mostly do. I'm part of the educational committee on the Frack Free Butte County campaign. And if people want me to come to their clubs or come to their home and talk to their family and friends, I have a whole program put together that I can show them what all the consequences of fracking are, from the actual fracking to the wastewater that's being used on agriculture. I have a 5-minute video on that. And then I also do the crude oil bomb trains. What people don't realize is that, okay, maybe we don't have fracking in Butte County. But again, they're watering our crops with wastewater. And those crops of the halo wonderful mandarins are here in Butte County, and people can be eating those crops. Also, we have the crude oil bomb trains that are coming through downtown Orville. They're coming through downtown Chico. And what happened is back in July 6th of 2013, one of these trains that was loaded with this crude oil from the Bakken North Dakota shale, it's fracked oil, crashed in the town of Lac Mégantic. And when that train crashed, it caused this tremendous explosion and fire. And it burned for 3 days. Even the lake, because that's the name of the town, is Lac Mégantic, the Great Lake, was on fire. And that burned for 3 days. 30 buildings were burned down. 47 people died. Over 1,000 people were evacuated. I mean, this was a tremendous tragedy, from this train crashing, derailing, exploding, and catching fire. 36 buildings had to be demolished because of the contamination. And again, this stuff is so toxic and poisonous and contaminating. To give you an idea how bad it is when they sent in the firefighters and they sent in the investigators into the accident scene, they were only allowed to go in for 15-minute intervals because of the toxicity and the heat in that area. And this happened for a whole month. A whole month, they were only allowed to go in there for 15-minute intervals. And after a month, they finally decided that it was cleaned up enough that they could actually be in there for longer periods of time. So again, just, you know, people need to realize how toxic and dangerous these chemicals are.
Yeah, and of course we have a rail line that comes right down along the Feather River, right through the canyon, and right through Oroville. So there's no reason why they couldn't use that. It's a nice location for the rail company. I'm sure it accesses areas where they want to be.
Yeah, and I've seen numerous crude oil bomb trains coming through Oroville. Again, they come right through downtown. I've seen them in the Feather River Canyon. I live up in Yankee Hill, and when I'm driving to town, I see them going over the Highway 70 bridge, which goes right over Lake Oroville. And when I've driven up to Quincy and up in that area, I've seen them traveling along the North Fork of the Feather River. And again, you know, if these trains crash and derail along the Feather River Canyon, that oil is going to go into the North Fork of the Feather River, which is then going to flow into Oroville. And Oroville is our second largest domestic water supply for California. Oroville provides water for 25 million Californians. It provides water for almost 1 million acres of crops. So one of these trains derailing and dumping their spill into the North Fork would be an economic catastrophe. And again, you know, we're still in a drought year. You know, we've gotten some rain, but I just drove over Oroville today because I live right above it. And I mean, the lake's only gone up about 20 feet. I mean, it still needs to go up almost another 200 feet, you know, to be back up to normal.
Yeah. So this actually is something that there is a hope that we can do something. How would you approach this? Because you see the railroads are there and the cars are there. How would you approach trying to block something like this?
Well, you have some very good questions there. And what I'd like to do is I'd actually like to talk about one of the success stories.
All right.
So basically, Westpac Energy Project was scheduled in the town of Pittsburgh, California, which is over in the Bay Area. And basically, Westpac was going to be the largest West Coast oil facility in the United States. Well, the people of Pittsburgh opposed this. And they went door to door telling everybody that we don't want this in our community. And so there was this enormous battle of getting the county to not issue the permits for this facility. And back in December, Westpac actually withdrew their application. And so the people of Pittsburgh won this battle. So as of today, 242,000 barrels of oil are not coming down the railroad tracks to Pittsburgh because they were able to stop this. And so what's happening is people need to realize that all this oil that's being extracted through fracking, they're sending it to the Bay Area because of the refineries we have here. We have over 5 refineries. And so then they refine that crude oil, and then they ship it off to foreign countries. And so we're not getting any benefit from this. You know, the oil companies are making big profits because oil and gasoline is much more expensive in these foreign countries. For instance, in Denmark and Finland, a gallon of gas is going for $8 a gallon. So they're making huge profits at the backs of our safety. I mean, we're taking a tremendous risk of these trains going through our communities, going through our major watersheds. They travel down along the Dunsmuir Shasta Loop, and if those trains spill there, it goes into the Sacramento River, which feeds into Shasta Lake, which is our largest surface reservoir for domestic water. And so we need to protect this stuff. And the only way we're going to protect it is by we the people standing up and saying, no, we don't want this in our communities. And like Pittsburgh, we can actually stop it. And we stop it at the sources where they want to expand. And currently, there's several areas where they're expanding oil facilities. They're expanding the rail systems, and they're also expanding basically the rail systems, the oil facilities. And so there's Bakersfield, and it's Plains All American. And Plains All American, that's the company that owned the pipeline that ruptured, that spilled into the ocean at Santa Barbara. Anyway, they have a facility in Bakersfield that, if it's completed, they'll have 90 cars of petroleum delivered a day. And then there's another facility in Bakersfield by Allon, A-L-O-N company, and that facility is approved. They'll have 200 rail cars of petroleum every day delivered. And then here in Benicia, there's Valero, and so that's a Bay Area company, and they're looking at getting 100 rail cars a day delivered. And currently there's a petition that people can go to, and it's at www.forestethics.org/takeaction, and the petition's called Protect East Bay Communities from Dangerous Oil Trains. And by signing that petition, you're asking the Air Resource Control Board to reevaluate the permit they gave the Benicia Valero station on allowing this. And so they feel that there wasn't an environmental impact report and that the people didn't have a choice on this. So they want that to come back so they can vote on it. So that's one way we can actually stop this. And then also Santa Maria, Phillips 66 is trying to enlarge their refinery there, and people can protest on that. So basically, you know, we had a success story with Pittsburgh, California, and we can have more success stories if people stand up and say, no, we don't want this in our communities.
Yeah, I can see getting a small basis. It's good in a way because the local population can be informed. When you're trying to do something statewide, that's overwhelming. But if each community, each county, each area is properly informed and takes the proper steps, then I can see where that can have an effect, and that's really good. It's at least some degree of feeling that something can be done.
Right, and so, you know, when I'm talking about these bomb trains, you know, I mentioned Loch McGuntuck and the 47 people that died and all the, you know, the damage and disaster that was done. But since that accident or catastrophe, there have been 9 more. So the first one was back in July of 2013, and then in October of 2013, in Gainford, Alberta, there was another derailment, another fire, another explosion. And then a similar one in Alice, Alabama, November 2013. And then we had one in Castleton, North Dakota, December 2013. And then another one happened in Plaster Rock, New Brunswick, of January 2014. And then the first one that had the new tanker cars, because all these other ones that exploded, they were saying, well, these DOT 111 tanker cars, they're like the Ford Pinto of the rail industry. They're really thin metal, and they're like a tin can, and that's why they were having all these explosions. So they produced this newer tanker called the 1234. And so in April of 2014, train derailed in Lynchburg, Virginia. And it was these 1234 tanker cars. They ruptured, they caught fire, and they exploded. So even with these new cars, it's just not safe.
Yeah, there's nothing.
And then in Timmins, Ontario, February 2015, same thing with a new car. Mount Carbon, West Virginia, February 2015. These new cars derailed, caught fire, and exploded. Galena, Illinois, we had another one March 2015. And then Gogama, Ontario, March 2015. So we've had 10 of these train accidents where they derailed, caught fire, and exploded. And these fires and explosions are enormous. It's like a 747. A fireman said it's like a 747 jet crashing into the building. You know, the fireman said they could feel the heat a mile away. a mile away. These flames are 200, 300 feet into the air. It's unbelievable type of catastrophe. And then they never really clean up the mess. And basically what's happening is the rail companies and the oil companies are making tremendous amount of money. And to kind of give an example of that, the two accidents that happened in Canada in 2015, in Timmins, Ontario, which was in February, and then in Gogama, Ontario, which is in March, it was CRX Rail Company of Canada. They went ahead and settled on those two accidents already, and they paid out $40 million to clean up that mess. Fortunately, these accidents happened out of town, so nobody was killed and injured, but there was enormous environmental damage. So they settled and paid $40 million on these accidents. Well, in that same quarter, that same three-month period, that train company made $700 million in profit. So $40 million out of the $700
million
is peanuts. And so that's why they continue to transport this crude oil, because they're making hand-over-fist money, and they don't care about people, about our health, about our communities. And they'll continue to do this until we say, no, we don't want this happening, or till we can get the government to stop it, or until we can make the government make them pay fines that they will actually fix these problems with the type of rail cars they're using, the brake systems they're using, and actually start putting more people on these trains. The Lac-Mégantic accident, there was nobody on the train. What happened was the conductor, when he stopped the train, he'd worked his 12 hours, just like truck drivers, and he needed to go rest and sleep, and he set some handbrakes on only some of the cars. Well, he didn't set enough handbrakes on that, so the brakes actually failed, and the train ran into the town and derailed and crashed. Most of these trains only have one or two people, and that's all they'll pay, because, again, they want to save money. So we need to have more people on these trains. They need to add those cabooses back on so they know what's happening at the end of these trains. So there's many safety things that can be done that the rail companies refuse to do. And so they're putting their profits above the safety of our communities and the safety of our health and our environment.
Okay, Dave Garcia, my goodness, been our guest today. And, well, he's talked about a lot of things that need correction. But I've been taking a bit of notes, and there are things that can be done. They often start at a legislative level, and getting acquainted with the problem. You're also acquainted, especially if you go to some of these websites, you'll get acquainted with ways you can participate, and that's where it's going to have to happen. It's going to take more than one person out there campaigning, saying we can't have this. We got to get together and give a big support for this.
So a couple things that I'd like to mention before we finish up is, if people want to learn more about this, there's some websites that they can Google and see videos, and they can learn a lot from these videos, and these are actually documentaries. And so one you can Google is stories.weather.com/boom, and it's 11-minute video on the actual Lac-Mégantic train explosion and accident. And it's an excellent video that people can learn about these crude oil bomb trains. Another site that they can Google, they just need to Google The Sky is Pink, the movie. And it's a documentary. It's 18 minutes long. It's part of the Gasland 2 film that Josh Fox put together. And it explains what fracking is, and the problems with fracking, and how some of it can be solved. And it really involves the state of New York, where New York actually banned fracking. And so that's a success story there. And that would be great if California could follow up like New York did. And then another one they can Google is Concerns Rise Over Produce Grown in California. And this is a 5-minute video that explains what's happening with the Coelho Water District and the irrigation of their 45,000 acres with wastewater. And I mean, you can actually see the reporter saying, "Whoa, this water really stinks." And what's that, that's in the canal? And the scientists tell them, "Well, those are tar balls." And this is right at the location where the water is coming out of the canal and being put on the crops. And so you really get an understanding of what's happening down there. And it's only a 5-minute video, and it's an excellent film that, people can learn more about what's actually happening and why we really need to make sure that it stops.
Okay. Well, thank you. You are several things at once, very dynamic, of course, but the other is informative and things we wish we didn't have to know, but we need to know. But by golly, you even leave with some optimism, with things that people can do. And you don't have to be very wealthy or influential. You can just be a participating human being in our world. Get yourself informed and then be involved in some of these things. It's really, really good. Thanks a million, Dave, for taking your time out. I know you're a busy critter.
Well, thank you. And probably, the most important thing is for people to get registered and to vote on June 7th to ban fracking in Butte County. And one thing that people need to realize that bad politicians are elected by good people who do not vote. So if you want to get rid of those bad politicians, make sure you register and you vote, because you do make a difference.
Alrighty. Can't end on a better note than that. Thanks again.
Thank you.